This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBT community and by the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. It's Worldwide Wave time. Big thank you to T for the 6 at 6:30. On the Worldwide Wave panel tonight, Alex is here.
Guten Abend.
Stefan is our strong silent type on the panel. Prue, welcome back.
Hi.
And Oliver is joining us again this week.
Hello.
My name is Matt.
Confession therapy sounds fairly benign. After all, it's therapy, isn't it? There's an ever-growing body of evidence to suggest that so-called gay conversion therapy is at very least false science and at least worse, torture. And it is occurring in every corner of the world.
Maria Schodin is the Deputy Executive Director of Outright Action International, one of the oldest LGBTI and human rights organisations working to advance equality on the world stage. They've recently released a shocking report titled Harmful Treatment, the Global Reach of So-Called Conversion Therapy.
So-called conversion therapy is defined as attempting to change, suppress, or divert someone's sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. That is, to try to change an innate part of you. There are people who swear by it, like the ex-gay movement, and an overwhelming and growing body of evidence against it. What is undisputed by both sides is that it is occurring in every corner of the world.
International human rights and LGBTI advocacy group Outright Action International has just released a report titled Harmful Treatment, the Global Reach of So-Called Conversion Therapy. Deputy Executive of Outright joined us tonight to explain the report's findings and the extent of its practice across the globe is scary.
Outright has done the first global study of so-called conversion therapy, which, of course, you know, it's not conversion and it's not therapy, but the term conversion therapy is quite widely used. So we decided to stick with that and refer to it basically as so-called conversion therapy. And we had almost 500 people from all regions of the world who responded to our survey. And it's shocking to hear what people are telling us from all these different parts of the world, what they have been subjected to and what they've heard from others. And so in terms of our findings, we now know that conversion therapy happens in every region of the world. The main perpetrators and advocates for conversion therapy are acting in the name of religion. Some of them are, you know, claim to be mental health professionals in some way, and they're often encouraged by family members of the people who are subjected to it. And many people are forced or coerced to participate in so-called conversion therapy, but some, about a third of the respondents in our survey, have sought it out themselves. And it's something that's mostly targeted towards young people. So over 80% of the respondents who had been part of conversion therapy efforts were under the age of 24 when it happened. And last, I guess we could say that there are very few countries that have done anything to stop conversion therapy from happening. So there are only four countries that have a complete ban, Malta, Brazil, Ecuador, and Taiwan. And then there are about 10 that have some sort of partial ban. So most countries in the world have done nothing to stop conversion therapy from happening.
All right, let's unpack a few of those things there. So first of all, the family and the experiences of families. I would hope that there's not many that go into this so-called therapy in order to harm their child. So they must be seeing this as some sort of act of love. Where is that coming from?
What we see in the report is that a lot of that is driven by faith and religion. So religious institutions and faith leaders are preaching that homosexuality and trans, you know, not conforming to gender norms, that these are things that can be changed. And the way that they aim to change it is, you know, through prayer, forced fasts, having other people try to pray the demon away, and sometimes using violence and force to make it happen. So I agree with you that although I'm sure it's not intended to cause harm, unfortunately what we see in our report is that it really does cause long-term harm to the individuals who are subjected to it.
The role of religion, is that coming from certain types of religions or is that, you know, pretty broad?
It is pretty broad. So we see the sort of the role of the religion more so in sort of Africa, Latin America, the Caribbean, than in Asia, from our findings. In Asia, we find that sort of family, culture, and even some mental health institutions are behind the efforts of conversion therapy. And in the other regions, we see religion playing a much more important role. And what we've heard from people, it's from many different religions, including traditional culture and religion.
You mentioned that about one third of people sought out conversion therapy themselves. Was there a common theme in why they would do this? Does that come back to religion as well?
In some cases, yes. But I think in some cases, it's like people want to conform if they feel like society is against who they are. They have a lot of internalized homophobia and transphobia, and they want to be like everyone else, or they want to conform to the norms that they see in society. And so I think that what stands out very much to us is that although we certainly advocate for combating conversion therapy as a phenomena, we know that, you know, we can't get rid of conversion therapy until we've rid society of homophobia and transphobia.
Maria Chaudin from leading international queer advocacy organization Outright Action International. Coming up, we look at the long-term mental anguish that the report has uncovered. You're on World Wide Wave.
Don't look at me. Every day is so wild.
Beautiful. That is indeed beautiful by Christina Aguilera. You're on Worldwide Wave. It's beautiful because we think you're beautiful just the way you are. We're talking conversion therapy tonight. If you've got a view, maybe you've had an experience or know a friend who has, SMS us 0427 joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
The most extreme cases of so-called conversion therapy involve electric shock therapy or even corrective rape. There are also much more subtle tactics, long-term fasting, extensive periods of prayer, spiritual rituals like exorcism. So we asked Maria Shodin from Outright Action International, who authored the report, if this was just a form of brainwashing or mental attack.
Yes. I mean, I think that's a sort of, if I'm to give a short answer, yeah, I think that there are many similarities between, you know, what we would consider brainwashing if it happened in another situation or in another setting. But I think what we find is that we have sort of the documented form of physical violence from all the regions where we have examples. So, and it's often a combination of physical violence and mental violence, really, and emotional violence.
I'd like to read just one of the quotes from, because I guess at the heart, behind the numbers, there are real people. And one of the things the report has captured is many of their actual stories. George from Kenya says, conversion therapy is not a single event. It's a process of continued degradation and assault on the core of who you are. The pressure is enormous. One of the things that really came through in the report is that it is a deep and long-lasting trauma for the people that go through it. It doesn't end when conversion therapy ends. It stays with them, you know, all their life.
Exactly. I think that also stood out to me very much. And I think that it really shows the lasting effects. So it's not something that can be taken lightly. Someone asked me, like, why are you looking into conversion therapy? We hear so many horror stories of what's going on around the world in the way that LGBTIQ people are targeted. But this really is a serious form of violence that LGBTIQ people are facing. So it needs to be addressed. And of course, we also think that there are ways of advocating to get rid of conversion therapy, to advocate with states, to make them ban it, to advocate with the professional organizations to ensure that there are no mental health professionals that or medical professionals that engage in so-called conversion therapy. And also, of course, advocating with faith communities and religious leaders to get them to publicly condemn efforts of so-called conversion therapy.
Do you think that last one is achievable in the short to medium term?
I think all of these are achievable, but not everywhere, you know, right away. But I think it would be possible in every region to find faith leaders who speak out against it. I think we can find medical associations and professional associations that speak out against it. I would love to see the World Health Organization make a more strong stand, more public stand, and also through their regional organizations. I think all of this is achievable, but I think that, you know, whenever you work on promoting the rights of LGBTIQ people, which Outright has done next year for 30 years, you know, you have to take the next possible step. You're not going to get everything that you want and need right away, but you can make gradual change.
Maria Shodin from Outright Action International. The report is called Harmful Treatment, the Global Reach of So-Called Conversion Therapy. The role of family, I mean, maybe this is just from where I've come from. I can't imagine my family in some form of love saying, go and, you know, change innately who you are, go through this this painful process. Do you think they know it's a painful process?
I think they just edit out because they think it's a good way for you to be part of the mainstream. Because, like, coming from an Asian family, my mom did ask me whether I want to be bisexual instead of being gay. And that,
so that was a better degree?
A better degree, like, because, like, that was being seen that, like, maybe you still have a chance with a woman if you go to conversion therapy and become bisexual. And I obviously now, like, proudly being a gay man, I didn't really think, like, a second, like, I would never actually would do that options.
Would consider it?
Yeah, would never consider it. But I think that, like, from her perspective, she wants me to be part of the norm.
Well,
yeah.
And, I mean, the point is, you would go to hell.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's not forget that within religious communities, same-sex practices are a sin.
Oh, that's
do you think, though, if they were told that there might be something like electroshock therapy or long periods of fasting and all those types of torture, I'm going to call it types of torture, do you think they would still be as willing? Is it? Do you think a case of
what
whatever
about
needs to happen?
Matt, an eternity in hell. I mean, this is really important. You know, well, sure. I mean, that's a very good point.
I mean, I would say no to Matt's original question, which is would the average parent, even religious parent, if they were to know that those extreme ends of the practice were to happen, probably not. But I think it's probably a slow opening of that, you know, once the therapy, as she mentioned, sounds less confronting, obviously. It sounds like it's a practice that's run by professionals, medical, pseudo-medical professionals who know what they're doing. To the average parent, that might sound, oh, well, maybe, you know, it's worth a try. You know, versus eternity in hell, as you say.
Well, yes, Alex, but if you also think about the context of things like fasting, that's quite consistent with a lot of religious traditions as well. So some of these conversion practices
self-sacrifice,
kind of the suffering of Christ and then that sort of suffering that a lot of, you know, that some practices really do kind of help to get you in touch with that suffering. Yeah. So I don't think this would necessarily be viewed as anything very different.
No, but I just think maybe some of the extreme ends of the therapy spectrum, probably most parents wouldn't have said they'd sign up to at the onset, you know. They just think it's a bit of a counselling, you know, but.
Yeah, especially, like, they're quite convinced with how they pathologise homosexuality. Mm. And once that kind of medical discourse kicks in, parent just say, oh yeah, it's an illness,
it's
that we
disorder,
have to treat, it's a disorder. Yeah. And
I think we should point out, though, that a lot of these organizations that run it are not and do not try to be medical.
Yeah.
But there is a very lot who are religious. So there, whilst there is authority vested in the, you know, in being a so-called health professional, there is also authority in the church and people going to the church and asking for help, and the response from church leaders is, well, go to this. We can help change your son or daughter.
Yes, certainly.
And I think, you know, looking at what's happening currently in Australia, there are 10 organisations offering conversion therapy, and that is very much of a more gentle counselling nature. And please, I know, I hope I don't sound like I'm supporting these, I'm not, but their language is very much around counselling and the liberation from these kind of sexual afflictions. But what I particularly dislike is they sort of include same-sex attraction with pornography, sexual abuse, and that's very offensive.
Liberation. Not Liberace, liberation. Yeah. We're talking all things conversion therapy tonight. You're on the World Wide Wave.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yang Fa from Singapore. You are listening to World Wide Wave. Lots of love to everyone at Joy 94.9.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her
Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Give yourself prudence and love your friends, so we can rejoice the truth. In the religion of the insecure, I must be myself, respect my youth. A different love is not a sin, believe capital H I.
Queen, whether you're broke or evergreen, your black, white, beige, Chola descent, your Lebanese, your Orient, whether life's disabilities left you outcast or leader teased, rejoice and love yourself today, cause baby, you were born this
way. No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, Chola or Orient made, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to be brave.
This is Born This Way from Lady Gaga. We are talking about conversion therapy today, but I just want to let everyone know that you're beautiful no matter what, and you're just born this way.
Beautiful, beautiful. Speaking of beautiful, a bit of action on Facebook this week. Prue, you've got a definite fan club. We posted a photo of you from last week's show, and my gosh, you're popular.
Oh, well... So cool.
Enough said. You can send us a message, 0427 Joy949, or on air at joy.org.au. Tonight, our guest is Maria Shodin from Outright Action International, authors of this report on conversion therapy around the world, or so-called conversion therapy. And it is truly surprising and shocking that there are only four countries who have a full ban on conversion therapy: Malta, Brazil, Ecuador, and Taiwan. No Australia, no New Zealand. They haven't beaten
us. Well, I mean, even Brazil's a funny one to be in that group.
You are correct.
In its current climate.
Banning these practices to us seems a bit like a no-brainer. We asked Maria if there has been enough light shone on this issue.
No, I don't think there has been, and that's part of why we wanted to produce this study. Because we think that this is a serious problem and it needs to be addressed. The governments need to take it more serious. I think it hasn't been taken serious because it sort of sounds kind of benign. You know, conversion therapy, it doesn't sound it doesn't sound like the torture that it actually is. You know, therapy, oh well, therapy is good, but it really isn't therapy. It's bogus science. It's got no scientific ground, and it really is all about forcing people to conform to norms around gender and sexuality in society. And it is a serious problem, and we do need more governments to take it seriously and to ban it.
There was another statement I read that jumped out at me, which was basically saying that even more worrying is that the providers of conversion therapy are using human rights language to promote their services, saying, you know, it's a right for somebody to choose to have conversion therapy. What are you seeing as the concern there?
I mean, we see this as a trend, and I fear that, you know, we'll see more of it. We've already seen, I think in the U.S., a court case where they argue exactly this way, that, you know, people have the right to try to change, and the providers have a right to offer those services, regardless of the fact that, you know, it doesn't work. But I think that sort of when we see those who are against the rights and lives, basically, of LGBTIQ people, when they start using that kind of language that it's, you know, it's the freedom of expression or it's the freedom of religion, they are putting those concepts ahead of the rights of actual people. I mean, human rights belong to the individuals. So in order for people to be accepted, societies have to change. We shouldn't try to change the individuals to make them conform to outdated norms.
And what will Outright Action International be doing with this information? How would you be taking it forward next?
So we'll be taking this forward at country levels, working with partners in some specific countries to try to promote an understanding of the harms of conversion therapy. And then, of course, through our work at the United Nations, we'll obviously also will be bringing this up both with governments and with the United Nations agencies so that we can get more governments and international bodies to distance themselves from efforts of conversion therapy and to ideally outright ban it.
The report is titled Harmful Treatment, the Global Reach of So-Called Conversion Therapy. Maria Shodin is the Deputy Director of Outright Action International. Thanks so much for joining us here on World Wide Wave.
Thank you so much.
One of the outcomes Maria was talking about there was the report brings visibility to this issue. It is an issue that is getting a bit of airing in the popular culture, though, as well. I mean, we've seen a raft of movies and books and things that are raising this as an issue. Do you think they're, going to drive a positive change?
Well, I think the comedy, you know, the Miseducation of Cameron Post that came out last year certainly shed some light on the issue. And, I mean, it did seem kind of quite funny in a way that the idea of putting a group of lesbians together for to kind of make them straight would really at the outset seem counterproductive.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of the episode in SNL, like Saturday Night Live, where there was like a joke about putting a bunch of like gay people in the same cam and they're just making out of each other. Yes.
You do also have the more serious versions of that. I'm thinking Boy Erased, big international film. When I first watched it, I thought, gee, they'd sort of toned it down a bit too much. There wasn't enough gravity of the situation. But when I watched it the second time, I saw a whole lot of different nuances, and it kind of in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, it's not what it seems. You've got to really look hard to see what they're doing.
And of course, the earlier groundbreaking book and series by Jeanette Winterson, Oranges Are Not the Only Fruit, includes a scene where Jeanette Winterson and her girlfriend are semi-autobiographical, are put through a whole exorcism ritual, which is, it's sad. It's quite brutal.
Now, we've had a message in on air at joy.org.au. Thanks, Melina. Great to hear from you. Did you watch 60 Minutes where the feature story was about gay conversion therapy? I'm so glad the Victorian government has made this appalling practice illegal. Great show. Yes, Victoria. So let's bring this home because Australia is one of the countries that still has conversion therapy. There have been, I think, one of the precursors to that change, Melina, was a report that was done here in Victoria on conversion therapy.
Yes, well, there was a report called Preventing Harm, Promoting Justice that released last year, 2018, by La Trobe University Human Rights Law Centre. And this is an extensive report which goes through the history of conversion therapy in Australia, which actually it sort of goes back 50 years only, because prior to that, same-sex attraction was seen as a medical problem. But when the medical profession left that as a treatment, then the religious organisation kind of stepped in. But this is a very, very important report, and it's got some heartbreaking stories in it, and really does outline the harmful practices. And also, I think it's so important to stress that it doesn't even work. Like, even
again and again, it's been proved.
Yes. So it is really does just cause harm. Like, there is nothing that I can. I mean, I know you've also looked at the ex-gays movement.
Yeah, actually, yeah. And just this week, as we're preparing the show, another leader of one of these ex-gay setups in America, in South Carolina, has come out as gay.
Yeah.
And has apologised for the harm that
behold.
He's done.
Well, I would love to see statistics on this. Like, how many success in these ex-gay movements? How many successfully stay? Mind my euphemism, on track, or don't fall off the wagon. I mean, I'm guessing they're way higher than people who fall off the AA wagon and various others.
Does it need a new name? I mean, Maria was talking there about conversion therapy is a bit benign. Do we need to be able to call this something else? Is it too soft?
Well, it's abuse.
Conversion torture.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I think torture is a good word because, like, obviously, a lot of these organisations these days won't say that they're torturing the patient or they're torturing their client. However, the trauma they have brought to the client is insurmountable. And, I mean, as someone that, like, from a different culture to Australia, I personally, like, because I used to have a social worker at school, and then, like, when someone told me that, oh, actually, there's an option for you to not live like that, because the court wouldn't love it. And just by that sentence, or just by the counselling section, I just, like, double quotation that, it is bad. Like, you felt like I was only, like, 14 or 15 at the time, and it wasn't a decent experience, and I don't feel like I trust them anymore.
But it's, you know, it is important because it's about faith. So if your choice is the loss of faith, that can cause deep, deep grief. You know, if you have to choose between faith or the love, you know, love of a partner, it's all about love in a way. So I think it's incredibly sad.
The report is titled Harmful Treatment, The Global Reach of So-Called Conversion Therapy. It's from Outright Action International. We're posting it on our Facebook page as we speak. That's W3Joy. Coming up is Worldwide Rap.
This is Ryan Reed from the International Gay Rodeo Association, saddling up with Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my
some sleep. Everybody's worried about me. In too deep. I say I'm in too deep. In too deep. It's been 2 years, I miss my home. But there's a fire burning in my bones. Still believe. Yeah, I still believe.
Rachel Platten with Fight Song, Take Back My Life Song, especially after conversion therapy. A message in from Melina again, suggesting a name, Gay Terrorism. That might make us look bad there, Melina, but thanks for that. I do like your second comment. I'm glad there are now gay Christian groups who are working hard to expose these unscrupulous practices. You are absolutely correct. And another final message in. Melina has sent us that there's a documentary being released about Roy Cohn, who was one of Donald Trump's mentors. We will stand by and see what happens there. Big thank you to our guest tonight, Maria Chaudine from the Deputy Executive Director of Outright Action International. You can find out about all the good work that they do at outrightinternational.org.
So I will also thank you the messages from Kieran, Liz, Sharon, Warren, Selena, and a heap more who have joined and interacted with us on Facebook this week.
Behind the scenes, Alex, thank you for the work you do on our podcast, and our social media master, Dean. Coming up,
stay tuned for Bad Gays with Helen and Alex, for everyone who doesn't quite fit the stereotypes.
And a bit of music to take us out tonight. We're back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. But right now, like Queen, I want to break free.
but life still goes on. I can't get used to living without, living without, living without you by my side. I don't want to live alone. Hey, God knows, got to make it on my own. So baby, can't you see, I've got to break free. I've got to break free.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7pm Eastern Australian time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online across the world at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.